Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Breakthrough to the Ultimate You, Discoveries in Health, Wealth, and Passion. I'm your host, Cheryl McDaniel, and tonight with my wonderful co-host, Misa Hopkins, we will discuss remodeling relationships with our special guest, Jeff Lawton. Hello, Misa.
Hey, Cheryl. How's it going tonight?
Wonderful.
Are you there?
Wonderful.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So you had to think about it. Now, wait a minute.
No, I actually answered you immediately.
Oh, it's that gap again. It's that, like, two-second gap makes me crazy. So I'll try to be respectful and invite everybody who gets the gap with me. We'll just hold space and let you be there. I'm sure we can manage that.
You know, for all the good that technology does for us and allows us to do this fantastic show every week, I'm not going to complain too much about little gaps here and there.
Yep, me either. Hey, Cheryl, I want to break in for a second here because I want to let people know that New Dream Foundation is doing an October retreat for women, going very deeply into the sacred feminine. So if there's any woman out there thinking, oh, I'd love to get into the Denver area, be in the woods, be with women, be with water, be with, you know, the mysteries of femininity, we're going to be chanting and doing ceremony, native ceremony, and just connecting for a weekend in October so they can find out more about by sorry about that. I'm just tripping over my words here. They can find out more by going to newdreamfoundation.com. Check it out.
Wow, that all that wonderful energy, and I bet this is a beautiful time in Colorado this year, at this time of year.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, October's one of the most beautiful months, I think, in the Denver area. So it's an exceptional setting, just totally surrounded by nature and forest trails to walk. We can all get close to Mother Earth and get close to our own sacred feminine energy.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, I'd like to break in for a minute, too, and I've been noticing something. I would like to thank our listeners, big thanks, for making our show, for marking our show as one of their favorites. You can do this on our Blog Talk Radio show page. And I know I appreciate that so much, Misa, because it gets us up there in the ratings. It gets our messages out there. It gets more people involved, and that's really what it's all about. So I'd just like to tell our listeners, if they'd like to mark us as a favorite show, all they need to do is go to our show page at www.blogtalkradio.com/breakthrough, BREAKTHRU, the number 2, the word ultimate, ULTIMATE, the letter U. That will take our listeners to our show page, and at the top of the page, they'll find a box that will direct them to mark us as a favorite. And while they're there, I'd like to remind them to remember to connect with us at Facebook, because we have a fairly new page at Facebook, and I just really want all these people to go to Facebook so we can have conversations with them there, too. I just think that would be
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely.
And on our show page,
we love you all. Go ahead.
Oh, we do. And on the show page, there's a button for Facebook. So now I'm done. That's it. That's my little plug.
Oh, that's fabulous. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Cheryl, because we really love you all, listeners, and we like being in connection with you. We want to hear what your questions are and your thoughts are. And the Facebook page is a great way for us to keep communicating. So,
please check us
out there. And indeed.
We've got a nice little following, but we've got room for so many more. So come
indeed.
And join us at Facebook. Well, tonight's guest, Misa, is a master of remodeling relationships. Jeff Lawton is a respected relationship coach, and he's going to talk about what it takes to keep relationships growing, thriving, and remaining truly healthy, particularly when you've been in a relationship for many years. It can be it can help to periodically remodel just as you would your home when you're ready for an update. Jeff's going to discuss how to recognize when our relationships might be ripe for remodeling, how to truly collaborate on that process, and how to maximize the odds for successful results, and what exactly successful results would be. And I just think that's way interesting. So, welcome, Jeff. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here, Jeff. Wow.
Good to be here.
Relationships. And Cheryl, I just want to make a little side note. I actually got to spend a little bit of time with Jeff and his wife. My husband and I met them to have dinner, and we had a fabulous time. So I'm really curious to hear what you have to say, Jeff, because watching you and Sarah was just a delight. Truly, you practice what you talk about and what you teach and what you coach. And so I am very much looking forward to your insights.
Well, thank you. And we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves with you and Jeff as well. And where shall I start?
Well, I would
like to
start with
the beginning.
Yeah, what is a healthy relationship? What is a healthy relationship?
Well, the first thing I'd say to that is that it's important to realize that health in a relationship, to me, is relative to the couple. But there certainly are a few guidelines I think you can aim for that would widely be considered healthy. One of those being that you have a really good, open, and honest communication with each other. You're not doing the what I like to call the eggshell rumba that a lot of couples can get into, where you know you're walking or dancing on eggshells with each other. Pardon me. Another aspect of a healthy relationship to me is one where both partners are still on the lookout for how they each can best cheerlead and empower each other, not in a codependent way, but in a truly interdependent way, where you've got two powerful forces coming together to make a third force that has its own power, where both partners get served by that. But in their collaboration and their love for each other and in the synergy of their individual gifts, they create something that transcends the relationship even. And that gets applied in parenting. If they have children, it can be applied in their, you know, personal or spiritual community. So, you know, the ability to take your attention off yourself, each partner being able to take some attention off themselves and be able to always be awake and present to the gifts of their partner. I think a third critical element is that you never settle for the relationship ever being complete. That you recognize both partners share a value that the relationship is an organic living being. And as such, just like our own physical body, you have to keep that living being healthy. It needs to keep growing. It has to have room and ways to follow the natural instinctual movement towards growth and expansion that comes with being human. And so the relationship needs to be able to go in that flow rather than, I think, an old, outdated model that's pretty popular of how do we keep our relationship feeling the way it did when we first got together. And that's a no-win proposition. So there's three of the 9,428 criteria for healthy relationship that, you know, are probably out there. But I know we only have a half hour, so...
So we won't do all 9,000.
Right.
Thank you. That half for it. You've got some good stuff there. Really great criteria.
Jeff, I was recalling, as you were sharing, a book I saw on a friend's coffee table shortly after she'd gotten married. And inside the book were these photographs and short stories of couples that had been together 20, 25, 30, 50 years, which I was totally in awe of, by the way, because that would be a miracle in my life at this point. But maybe it could happen if I looked. Yeah, and one of the notes that the author made after interviewing all these couples was that they determined a successful relationship to be one in which they enjoyed being with each other about 80% of the time. Would you offer some reflection on that? What's your experience with the couples that you've coached?
Well, the ones that I've seen be the most successful, I'd say that's probably a nice percentage to shoot for. I haven't run into a whole lot of couples yet that hit it, but I think it's a great percentage to go for. And maybe what would be a more, the word that's coming to me is realistic, and I don't know that that's really the right word, but I'll roll with it for now. I think that something that is probably more likely, given the way that we currently seem to be operating as a culture in the U.S., for one thing, I don't think couples have time to spend 80% of the time with each other. And I don't think that's a good thing, by the way, that they don't, but I look at the couples I coach where sometimes they practically have to have their secretaries call each other to book a dinner with each other. And, you know, we are in such a high-speed way of living that I think if a couple could even find 50-60% of the available hours in a day to be together, they're pulling off a miracle. So what I think is maybe the updated version of what that writer was saying is that when you make the time to be together, that you still truly enjoy each other's company, that you are continually looking for the aspects of your partner that you didn't know or that you've forgotten that allows you to continually be surprised and allows you to be delighted with the things that you don't take for granted that you get to notice. So I think if the majority of the time you do have, you enjoy being in each other's company, you enjoy talking with each other, and you also can be at peace and feeling connected and in your heart without always having to talk. I think those are both great things. And I would add also another thing that I should have put in my first answer to your first question. Another thing that Sarah and I, my wife, that we get asked a lot when people find out that we've been together for almost 29 years, and when they're with us, you know, they can actually tell that we actually like each other. And so, you know, it's almost a depressing question that we get, which is, you know, how have you guys done this? And I think one of the key elements is respect. And so I want to add that to part of the 9,000 some odd things that you need is if you don't have a deep connection to how much you respect your partner, which of course is an extension of how you respect yourself, then you have a seriously uphill battle.
That's a great clarification and so true. So true. Respect is just elemental.
You know, Jeff, I think most of us, if not all of us, but I'll go with most of us. When we begin relationships, you know, we intend, the intention is there to do our best and to have a wonderful relationship, and sometimes it just gets derailed. I mean, things happen, situations arise, things happen in your family. what would you say tends to be the biggest issues that derail relationships?
I love that you asked that question. Okay. So I would say that one of the first elements is that I believe that most couples don't realize that from the moment that they really declare themselves in a committed relationship, whether it's in a marital format or a non-married format, but when we commit to another person, the thing that a lot of us don't realize is that when we go to bed at night with our partner, we actually have four other people in bed with us most of the time. We just can't see them. And those would be... That would be one partner's mom and dad and the other partner's mom and dad.
And
so one thing that I tell people is that it's really wise to remember that whatever our mothers and fathers never got handled in their marriage, we will go through all our relationships trying to work them out for them. And we don't know we're doing it. It's not a conscious thing unless, you know, you've really drunk the wrong Kool-Aid. It just happens on a really, really unconscious level. And so we bring, you know, the first relationship that most of us got to witness as we, you know, began living this life was our parents. Now, if you were lucky enough to have parents with a really healthy relationship, then you got some great models. And my experience of working with a lot of people around healing, you know, childhood and adolescent trauma is most people don't have really great models of relationship from their mom and dad. Doesn't have anything to do with loving them or not. It's just the reality that, you know, there are a lot of dysfunctional relationships and a lot of children grow up watching them. So that's one element is recognizing, not knowing that once the honeymoon's over, that all our hot buttons are now, you know, on red alert and ready to be hit at any time, that are going to trigger us into a lot of childhood hurts and beliefs, and then we react like children, and then we wonder how come our partner's so upset with us. Number two is, speaking of the honeymoon, And I think this probably might be more typical of younger couples, but, you know, I've seen the same thing happen with people in our age bracket, which we'll just respectfully say is middle age, that when they are going into a new relationship, either they haven't been in one, you know, until then, or they're on, you know, their next relationship after having been through a divorce or having lost a spouse, but there's really an unbelievably strong attraction to really believing the Hollywood myth of what relationships are like. So in other words, if you're with somebody for 40 years, they all ought to be like Julia Roberts and Javier Bardem in Eat, Pray, Love. You know, it should always be that hot passion, always wanting to be together, sexually voracious, and we should live happily ever after until one of us dies. And there are elements of all of that I'm all for, but there's really a conditioning that I think movies and TV and romance novels, they give, it's just unrealistic. So I think people not being ready for that shift out of honeymoon into what I refer to as the real relationship, so that causes a lot of problems. And then I'll say a third one is that, I don't know about you two, but I sure don't remember having any classes in junior high school, or college that had a title like, how to have a healthy relationship. And so most couples are going into it either having no idea what that means other than what they grew up with, or they're getting their sense of what a healthy relationship ought to look like from Oprah, Dr. Phil, and God knows what other, you know, TV show, and what they see on TV or in the movies. And so they don't know how to communicate well, they don't know how to fight well, and they don't know how to work with conflict, not as a problem, but as an opportunity.
Oh, boy, that is so true, that we really don't necessarily understand what it looks like or how to do it. We're learning as we go. It's no wonder that many of us have to do several relationships to get there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Cheryl, I think you've got another question,
sure.
Our last question here. Go for it,
girl. I actually do, you know, it makes me feel like most of us have been baptized in the harbor of dysfunction or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd really like to know, as we get to our last question, is why is it so important to remodel our relationships? Because we want to know, what does this remodeled relationship look like? I mean, how do you know when you've got, I mean, do you have an aha moment? Does it just feel like it kicks in? You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'll use an example. I saw a movie the other night. It was a British movie that I hadn't heard of, but it looked interesting. And a lot of the movie took place in, I think it was in the 70s, and there was a scene where I think a daughter in her late teens is in love with this boy, and the daughter's father is this really wealthy businessman who's really repressed and kind of a tyrant in the house, and the mother has become the subservient, you know, eggshell walker kind of wife. And the mother tells her daughter, when you put the man's coffee cup or breakfast in front of him and he doesn't say thank you, you know you're invisible. And so I'd say one of the signs that you know that maybe your relationship is really ready for remodeling is that you stop noticing who your partner really is, and they have become someone that you take for granted. And so you start sleepwalking through your relationship. You can complete each other's sentences, and not in a good way. And you tend to complete them out of habit, and you stop remembering or even relating to your partner or to your marriage or your relationship as something that has unlimited potential. You feel like you've arrived, quote unquote, and so most of your time and energy goes into trying to maintain the relationship in a static, stagnant place. And then, of course, another great indicator to me is always what happens with sex. If sexual activity is dropping on a prolonged basis for a long time, that's a sign that something's off. And so remodeling a relationship, you know, I'm not a big believer, just to be honest with everybody, I'm not a big believer that the commitment of marriage, which I take seriously, but it doesn't mean necessarily that we're meant to be together for the rest of our lives. However, the investment that it takes to make that commitment and to live it as far as it goes in an active, vibrant way, when it starts hitting one of those plateaus that make it ripe for remodeling, I'm not a great fan of the disposable marriage idea. And a lot of people just figure, oh, it's no fun anymore. It's not, you know, I'm not getting my needs met. Time to dump it and go find the next one. So remodeling is an alternative to that, where you look and see what is still around in your marriage that is are the best aspects of what has been there from the beginning to now, And then through a process that I work with couples through, you can get rid of all the stuff that doesn't work anymore. And in a way, you really declare that marriage dead as it was. And you take the best of what's left, and you consciously create and design a whole new relationship that's the next stage, where you actually have to discover new things about each other. And you come up with a new vision that, you know, is relevant to who you have both become. Because the stuff that mattered to my wife and I 29 years ago when we first fell in love are not the same things that matter to, you know, some. But, you know, we're older now, so we want and need different things. Is that answering your question?
That absolutely does. I think that's beautifully said. Beautifully said. You know, I think marriages, a lot of them are worth saving. I think more people should just put a little bit of energy into that. And I think that was a brilliant way.
And I can tell you, going from one relationship to another, the issues didn't change.
Right.
You know, the issues were the same. So fortunately, I have a great guy to work on stuff with now. We play more than work, thank goodness. But I'm realizing we should let people know where they can get a hold of you, Jeff, and experience more of you and your work.
Great. Well, a phone number that people can reach me at is 303-953-9215. My website is jefflaughton.com, so that's GEOFFLAUGHTON.com. And for couples who have listened to this or members of couples, and you think that maybe your relationship might be a candidate for remodeling, then I invite you to go to remodeling, which is one L, by the way, remodelingyourrelationship.com. And if you go to that site and you click on the button on there that says I'd like to know more, it'll take you to a questionnaire, and there's about 8 questions. It'll tell you. It'll give you a crystal clear idea of whether you might be right for that. And if you submit that questionnaire, then you'll get the opportunity to have a complimentary discovery session with me. No obligation, no pressure, but simply getting an opportunity to have me support you for an hour to further clarify if you're ready for that or not. So remodelingyourrelationship.com.
I think that's awesome. And we're right in our last couple of minutes, folks, for tonight's show. And, Jeff, I really want to say thank you for being on the show with us. I really, really appreciated you being here this evening.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
And great, Lisa, great show.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you know how time flies. And it's time to say so long for now and hold space for next week's show and our guest, the renowned medical intuitive, Caroline Sutherland.
I'm so excited to get to spend some time with her next week. And until then, may love, compassion, and truth prevail in our lives.
And may you see the beauty in everything. Good night.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Jeff.